This is Tevico from the Tev's Next Idea blog, and you're listening to Guildcast with your hosts, Sean Schuster. See what I did there?
Welcome back, everyone, to this 24th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
Hey, pretty good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. We're celebrating the Halloween events today, of course, with the Mad King and his wonderful jokes, right?
Yes, we got to hurry up because I got to farm more trick-or-treat bags.
Yeah.
So
the jokes, I mean, are they...
Oh, my gosh, new jokes!
Yeah, but we haven't seen any Guildcast listener jokes.
I, for one, am very disappointed.
Yeah, I didn't think that would happen.
But you know what? Some of these were great. And I'll tell you what, I am looking in my screenshot folder. I screenshotted all the new jokes.
Oh, cool.
Because I didn't want to forget them.
Awesome.
The one about the pumpkin on my head is like one of my favorites. So I was happy that one stayed.
Yeah.
The Paragon joke stayed. What's the difference between a drunkard and a Paragon? Or how are they the same? They both run around with no pants yelling at people. I love it. But one of the new ones is, what do you say to an Asuran Stiltwalker?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, that was the first one he asked, I think.
Yeah, he said, hello down there.
Yeah. Good one.
Let's see, what else? You know what? This is my favorite new one. I laughed so hard, and I actually went over and woke my husband up to tell it to him. Why can't Orians maintain their armies?
Why?
Because they keep falling out of their sleeveys.
Oh,
that is so good. That is horrible and awesome.
That is... I'm glad that they have different jokes, too, or new ones, at least. And I'm glad they kept the corniness. They kept the cheese.
Yes, the cheese is the best thing. He gave us a little preview. This was just horrible. I called him a filthy tease for this. He said, I know you mortals are always interested in future events, so I will give you a little preview.
Yeah.
And everybody, oh my gosh, Guild Wars 2, Guild Wars 2. He said, 200 years from now, and then there's like a big pause, and he goes, you will all be dead.
And then he's like, mwahaha.
Yeah, ha ha. So.
And people were like,
yeah, it's like, everybody was, I hate you.
But, we've been having a lot of fun with that, though. I mean, we talked a little bit about it last week, but we wanted to talk, you know, a little bit more about what's offered this year. We saw the new hats or the new, you know, costume pieces, I guess.
I hate to call them hats.
Yeah, because they're not really hats. But so we get to see all this new stuff, so we wanted to talk about it. And plus, we had a few emails we wanted to read and just make it kind of an all-around Halloween show. You know, there was this nice blog post by ArenaNet regarding their new costumes that they wore for Halloween, I guess Friday, right?
That the staff, yeah, the staff dressed up.
Yeah, yeah. But other than that, you know, there really wasn't a lot of news. I think this is a perfect opportunity to treat this like just a Halloween show because, number one, it is Halloween when we're recording this. And also, we didn't have too much of anything. You know, it was a pretty newsless week, I guess you could say, pretty light on the news.
Yeah, it was. There wasn't a lot. You know, Paris Games Week is going on, and I think so many of them were incredibly busy over there. Mm-hmm. So, and then we've got Halloween. We're doing stuff. We're farming.
Yeah. So, they had the Paris Games Day, which is took up at least Martin and Stefan's time. They're over there. And then they had, I mentioned, the Halloween thing. Now, this, if you go over to arena.net/blog, they have a post by Matthew Moore on the 29th, and he talks about, the different Halloween costumes. You can actually click on the large picture of the group, and it'll take you to their, or you, no, you can go to their Flickr gallery, which is linked mm-hmm. just below it, and it'll take you to... their gallery where you can go through and you can see individual shots of each person, which is kind of cool. This is kind of funny to me. I feel like I'm getting old now, but I don't really recognize anyone in the group, you know, like from the old days of ArenaNet. you know, because they've been doing this for a while where they've been showing pictures. Mm-hmm. The only one I think I might recognize, there's a char, someone with a char on their head. And I'm thinking that might be Katie Hargrove. I'm not sure. That's a guess.
You know, I was kind of looking. I'm kind of the same. I saw a couple people that I recognized. I recognized more costumes than I did people.
Yeah.
Somebody was Cornholio. That was.
Yeah, I was just going to say, which one is your favorite? Because I think that one is probably mine.
You know what? Fry from Futurama. I loved him.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's a good one. A lot of them were lost on me. I was like, it's pretty cool, but I don't know what it is.
You know what? One guy had, I'm kind of looking for it because I can't find the picture, but I saw one yesterday. One guy was a professor, and he was carting around the Chicago Style Guide.
Oh.
And do you know who I thought of?
Oh, Bree, right?
Yeah, it made me think of Bree.
Yeah. That's kind of funny.
She would have got a kick out of that.
Yeah. You know, last year I went to a Halloween costume contest here in town, and there was a guy dressed as Zombie Billy Mays. Which I thought that was hilarious. And the whole time, like, they had to do a performance, and the whole time he would just go, too soon? Is it too soon for this? Because it was, you know, not too long after the guy died. But and there was a Forrest Gump, which was pretty funny. But I love these things where people can take, like, funny costumes. I mean, this coming from a guy who, you know, my costume this year was, like, the scariest, like, post-apocalyptic wasteland guy you've ever seen. But I love the funny costumes. I think they're always a riot. And it looks like that's what they went for, you know, a lot of them dressed up like that.
Just having fun, yeah.
Yeah, a few video game characters. There's Yo Gabba Gabba in there. Did you see that?
I don't know if I did or not.
Oh, you don't know? Yo Gabba Gabba is like a host on a kid's show. I think
I was getting ready to say, I thought it was a kid thing.
Yeah, it is. And the guy in the orange jumpsuit with the orange furry hat.
Oh, is that who that was?
Yeah, that's who that's supposed to be.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. But yeah, it was pretty cool. A little lighthearted fun there from our friends at ArenaNet. And beyond that, I wanted to talk, like I said, about a little bit more about the Halloween stuff. And this year, we had some additions, of course. You know, they always seem to add some new stuff here and there. But this year, we have some new quests. There are, let's see, 6 new quests, which is always good. The reward items are pretty much the same. Now, the way, for anyone who doesn't know, you know, I can't really assume that everyone knows how to do this Halloween stuff. You know, it's we get to the point sometimes in the show where we're like, yeah, this and this and this, and then I'll get PM and game, and someone's like, can you explain that to me a little bit?
Because I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. So essentially what you do is you show up in, where is it, Commodon, Drachner's Forge, Lion's Arch, Tomb of Primeval Kings. Now, these are the places that are decorated, and the Jewel of Vistan.
Right.
These are decorated towns. But if you show up in Commodon, Lion's Arch, that's it, right? There's those 2 cities?
Drachnar's Forge. Oh, I'm sorry, for the quests?
For the Mad King stuff.
Yeah, just for the quests, Commodon, Lion's Arch.
Okay. So, but if you go to these cities while the Mad King is there, which is every 3 hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, every 3 hours. And there's actually a countdown to it, which we'll put in the show notes, because we're recording this in the morning, on Sunday morning, and this will still go on throughout the night. So we want to get this released so that people can still hear it and, you know, still participate.
Yeah.
I mean, you can listen to this while you're waiting for the Mad King, right? That's the best
thing. You absolutely should.
But what you do is you show up at these towns, at Lion's Archer Commodon, and you basically wait for the Mad King to show up. And he comes every 3 hours. And there's this little thing, this little calendar here. And the rewards he gives you are based on the emotes you do. So if he says, like, if he tells a joke, you're supposed to laugh. You know, you do mm-hmm. slash laugh. If he says, I want some music, and you do one of the instrument ones, you know, guitar
drums.
Or drums or violin or, you know, one of those. And then he'll give you, what he does is he gives you a Halloween bag, a trick-or-treat bag, every time that happens. And when you open it, you get one of these. Let's see, there are 10 different items you can get, rewards, mm-hmm. and they're all based on, like, there's Witch's Brew and Trick-or-Treat, Trick-or-Treat Bag is the thing he gives you, but there's Transmogrifier Tonic, Squash Serum, and most of these, what they do is either they get you drunk, they count towards your drunkard title, there are things that will count towards your sweets title when they also have, you know, added bonuses, like the pumpkin mm-hmm. cookie, candy corn. And then there are little things that don't really do anything, like the ghost in the box. It just has a little ghost that pops out of the box for a second.
It says boo.
Yeah, and, you know, a couple little things like that, which it's stayed pretty much the same the last few years. They've added some here and there, but a lot of these were from the original one, like Ghost in a Box, and, you know, that was from the original.
Mm-hmm. Those have been around for a long time. Yeah. The pumpkin cookies remove death penalty, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Candy corn boosts all your attributes. The candy apples give you, like, plus 100 health and plus 10 energy, I think. Mm-hmm. So it's, I mean, they advance your titles, and then there are some stat buffs in there, too. It's a temporary thing.
Yeah.
You don't just get that forever.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That'd be great.
But in addition to that, we also have the new costumes. Now, these are costumes that are available in the Guild Wars in-game store that you can buy, and these are available during the Halloween event. You can purchase them separately or as a combination pack together. And we talked about this last week, too, but you know, the one looks like a demonic angel, but it's actually called the Raiment of the Lich. And the other one is like a flaming pumpkin head kind of a thing, and it's called Lunatic Court Finery. I actually like both of these a lot. I like the kind of demonic angel one much better, just because I like the kind of spooky stuff more, you know. But
the body piercings freak me out.
That's true, yeah. Because you were showing me, I didn't buy one, but you bought one, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I was like, I like ripped my wallet in half getting the credit card when they were released.
Did you buy both of them?
Heck yeah.
Well, was at that the a time- stupid question?
That was a really stupid question. God forbid my character does not own something. No, but they had a deal, and I can't remember if it's I think it's still going on, where you get the entire costume set for $9.99.
Oh, that includes all the old ones, too?
No, all the current ones. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Because
okay.
You can buy them separately for, I think they're going to be $6.99 each.
Yeah.
So, like, the Raiment of the Lich will be $6.99, and then the Lunatic Court Finery is $6.99. Oh, but right now you can get them both for $9.99.
Oh, cool.
So I wanted to get in on that deal. And again, God forbid, my character does not have something.
Yeah. But they're pretty awesome looking. I mean, I was looking around. A lot of people had them at the events, you know, waiting for the Mad King and everything. Mm-hmm. So, now, of course, after the little... you know, he does his little thing. I mean, he tells some jokes. He asks you to do some emotes. He does rock, paper, scissors. He picks random people and has them do rock, paper, scissors. Then he does Mad King Says, which is always interesting and entertaining. Mm-hmm. Because the way it works is he says, you know, it's like, just like Simon Says. You know, he says, Mad King says jump. And then you jump. And if he says, now I want you to roar. And then what happens if you do it wrong, like if he doesn't say Mad King Says and you do it, he'll kill you. You know, he'll kill your character for just a second and you'll come back. But what's funny is all the people who, you know, of course don't do it right, and then they die, and then everybody says, ah, noob, you know, and they laugh at him. It happens every year, every time. And so it's kind of fun. It's fun to get in there, and you, on that one you have to type pretty fast because he doesn't give you very much of a chance, but it's fun, you know, when he picks you out of the audience and he has you do rock, paper, scissors with him and all this different stuff. So once all that's done and he says he has to go, then you will get a festival hat. Now, over the years, the festival hat has been, I've actually really like these, the Halloween ones, the best. They had a zombie mask in 2008 that I just loved. It's called Zombie Face Paint, and it looks so great, I think. They've had pumpkin crowns. I mean, the first year they had a pumpkin crown. The next year they had Furious Pumpkin Crown. And they do, ever since 2006, they've been doing two variants of the mask every year. You know, they had a mummy mask, scarecrow, like I said, zombie. Last year they had char and skeleton. And this year, it's kind of like the smallest that they've ever had, which, like we, you know, like you said earlier, you almost don't want to call it a mask because there are the ferocious ears, emphasis on fur. It's
you
fur,
have to spell that.
F-U-R-R, ferocious. And they're basically like little cat ears, really tiny. You know, I put them on my necromancer, and she has those top buns on her hair. And
she has the hat, yeah.
Yeah, and you couldn't even see the ears too much. But then the other thing is these are called the spectacles, or as Ruby says, spectacles.
I prefer spectacles. It makes me laugh.
And these are essentially, they look a lot like steampunk goggles. They don't go over your eyes. They go just above them on your forehead. And they're really small. You know, this and the ears, I think they're really small. Have you heard any, like, feedback in the forums? People saying, you know, we always get everyone's opinions on the hats every year. Have you read anything about these?
You know what? Just within Guild and Alliance chats, and the consensus was that the cat ears are insanely cute. I mean, everybody was like, oh my gosh, they're adorable. And it wasn't just me, I promise. That's most of the feedback I've heard so far has been in-game, and it's been very positive. Mm-hmm. Now, I did hear something very, very interesting from Jeff over at Massively, and he said these are both like straight out of Ion.
Oh, yeah.
And you've played Ion, I have not, so I can't really speak to that one way or another. But I showed, as soon as I showed him, he was like, oh my gosh, those cat ears. NCSoft must love those because they have the very same ones in Ion. So I showed him the goggles, and he said, well, those are actually nicer looking, but they are in Ion also. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of interesting to me.
And the wings we got and the one of the costumes looked very Ion-y. And the feet, I actually, you know, I haven't played Ion for too long, but for a second I thought that the hooves in that costume were from Ion, but they have claws on the Asmodian side, and like little tiny three-toed claws. And so I think it's interesting. I really like the male version of that costume, actually, because the feet kind of go back, you know, below the knee. I think it looks like a goat or something. Cool.
I prefer the female because it's pretty.
Yeah.
So I know.
I go for scary. I don't know. It's crazy. but yeah, so this year, like I said, they've added new quests, new costumes, new disguises, and they have a new map to the costume brawl. And the disguises, they actually have some for the GVG NPCs as well. So they've added a lot this year. You know, the last few years, like we were talking about last time, they didn't really do a lot. It kind of was a remake of the year before with like one or two things added. But they really did a lot this year.
They changed it up quite a bit. Now, did you participate at all?
No, not more than just the Mad King stuff, no.
Oh, okay. Well, there were new, like you said, there was a new map and new costumes. There was a mysterious assassin costume, if I am not mistaken, and everybody went out of their minds.
Oh, yeah.
You know, next profession for Guild Wars 2, next profession for Guild Wars 2. I don't know about that. But they also, there was a new explorable as well, which I thought was pretty cool. Out in Majesty's Rest, you know where where Rotscale is in Majesty's mm-hmm. Rest? Mm-hmm. And behind him is this big building that's always been there. One of the Halloween quests now will take you inside that mausoleum, and we talked about that a little bit last week, too. But I want to make sure, if you haven't gone out there and checked it out, do so, because the interior of the mausoleum now, it's absolutely beautiful. It's so, so gorgeous.
Cool.
And I don't know, I would hope that it will still be there after Halloween is over. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of a way within the storyline that it would remain that way, but it needs to stay because they obviously put a lot of work in there. It's stunning.
Cool. Yeah, I have to check that out.
Yeah, definitely.
If I can remember how to get past Rotscale.
You know what? This is what's cool. What I was doing, I found out you don't actually have to kill him to get into the mausoleum.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I actually went out there once with Heroes and Hench, and I flagged them forward to like get everything's attention, and then I just ran up there and like snuck around to the left. You can like kind of wedge between Rotscale and the wall, and I just ran around behind him and went in the door while he was fighting everything else.
Poor Heroes and Hench.
Oh, they rezzed. Shut up. but you know what? I do want to talk about the Halloween quests.
Okay.
Because they were, that's like you said, we got six new quests. It's two arcs. There's a series of three quests out of L.A. and a series of three out of Kamadan. And they are really, really generous this year. They're pretty easy. It's a lot of running around and a little bit of killing. And once you've done each arc, those three quests will give you a full stack of trick-or-treat bags.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The first quest gives 50. And the two follow-up give 100 each, plus some platinum and some XP.
Oh, very nice.
So that is absolutely, absolutely worth it.
Cool. Yeah, I have to do one of those. Every year, I haven't been doing holiday quests for a couple years now. And I think it's just because, I don't know. I think a lot of the holiday stuff I never really use that much, but I am going for the Max Drunkard title on my Necro, so I should do that just for those alone.
Yeah.
Especially the Dragon Fest stuff with all the rice wine. Those things are awesome. Mm-hmm. But,
well, and you know, you have a lot of absinthe and Witch's Brew.
Yeah.
Comes out of trick or treat bags. I've been selling my stuff. Just the sugar. Just the sugar. I do. I actually think I have some fire water for you if you want.
Sweet.
Yeah, I have like a whole three. Ooh, ah.
You're my supplier now.
I'm enabling you. No, I've just been in Kamadat, and I'm letting stuff go pretty cheap just because my time is worth a certain amount of money. I hate to, stand in Kamadat for 4 hours. Yeah. But I sold a stack of pumpkin cookies. A stack of apples and a stack of candy corn and got $65K.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's worth it to me right there.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, but they are very generous. You'll get 2 full stacks of trick-or-treat bags just doing the new quests.
Cool.
Yeah. So check those out in Los Angeles so badly. In Lion's Arch, you talk to the Countess of Hakewood, and in Commodon, you talk to the Emissary of the Mad King. And the one, the one quest in Kamadon is great because you have to, the Mad King wants to take a few pokes at Palawa Joko and just, annoy him a little bit.
Yeah.
So you go out there and, it's one of those quests where your character says things that you don't really have any control over. It's just part of the storyline. Mm-hmm. And you go out there and your character says, Palawa Joko, I have a message from Mad King Thorn. And Paul was like, what? What does he want now? And he said, your father was a dredge and your mother smelt of juniberries. And I was like, yes!
That's awesome.
Yeah, so then Palawa Joko freaks out and starts sending all of his undead minions after you. And he's like screaming about how he's going to get Mad King for this. And the Bone Palace will smell of freshly baked pumpkin pie before nightfall. It's hilarious. Just even the quest text they did such a good job on. It's so funny. And all of these goofy little pop culture references.
Yeah. Oh, I love how they do that.
Yeah, it was great.
Awesome.
So that's, if you haven't done, at least do them on one character. I've actually done them on 8 characters now, and I am completely burned out. but if you haven't done it yet, absolutely get in there and do it at least on one character. Just so you can get in on the new quest and see what it's all about and get some goodies.
Cool. See, you're convincing me now. Just like I always convince you to try new games, now you're convincing me to try this.
You need to. And you know what? I think you probably owe me for this and for Minecraft.
That's true, yeah.
But yeah, you definitely try because it's so much fun. I mean, they put so much work into it. You can really tell with the new explorable and the new content and all of this. It's just great.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do it.
Okay. So what else have we got here?
Well, we have some emails that we need to get through. And a lot of these address, the things that we talked about last week, kind of in response to last episode. And this first one here, this is from someone named Undead Tanker. And he says...
Oh, hey, he's in Massively Overpowered.
Oh, that's right, yeah. We read an email from him before. He says, hello, Sean and Ruby, this is Undead Tanker again. I was wondering if there was any announcement on some races, classes being gender-locked. In Perfect World International, which is the game that I came from to Guild Wars, they have a race called the Untamed, and 2 classes called the Venomancer and the Barbarian. The Veno is a female character only, and Barbarian is male only. I was also wondering if ArenaNet plans on putting in an embracing ability to where the male character can carry the female characters. If you don't know the answers to these questions, we will find out at some point. Undead Tanker. Yes, we will find out at some point. I think, I really don't think that they would have gender locks on classes or races.
I actually think that's been confirmed. No race lock, no gender lock, I am not mistaken.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's something that... a lot of some games are doing recently, and most of the time, like Vindictus and Aika, games like that, they'll do it because of the limitations on the server load. Like, they want a lot of people to play together, but they make models that aren't really customizable too much, you know, and they'll have, like, so that they can just have a copy of a character model on the server instead of having, you know, all these different types of things. Well, ArenaNet is more worried about us being able to customize our characters, you know. I mean, that's what we want to play. So with that, you know, you can have a much wider variety. You don't really have to worry about these gender-locked things. I think that that's also something that I don't see them ever doing that anyway. You know, that's... I mean, that really restricts people a lot, and I could see people just going crazy about that.
Yeah, we don't like our restriction.
Yeah.
Not with this kind of not the kind of customization that we've come to expect from Guild Wars 2, from what we've learned.
Yeah. And now, for the embracing thing, that would be kind of cool. I don't know... I mean, that's something they haven't said. I don't think it's something they've even probably thought to address. But it actually reminds me, in Fable 3, which I am absolutely in love with right now, they have a hold hands feature where you can hold somebody's hand and run with them. And, you know, you kind of like, they run behind you and you're holding their hand. And it's used for escort quests. It's used for, you know, when you get married and you do different things like that in the game. And I think it's kind of cool. But, yeah, they haven't really said anything about that. But I don't know. That would be...
Okay, you know what?
Role-playing thing.
I want this, and here's why. I want a male Asura to pick up a female Norn. I want that feature solely to so I can see that.
Yeah, I would like to see that too. I think.
Like, would her feet drag the ground, or what? Or would it just? Would you just be able to see his little feet scampering underneath her?
It'd be like Jerry trying to carry Tom or something, and you know. It's just like a cartoon thing. I don't know.
Yeah, you'd have to have the little scampering feet noise. Little music. Yes. But no, we don't know.
Yeah. All right. So this next email is from Terrence, and actually, you heard Terrence on the beginning of the show. There, his little intro there was from Terrence.
Oh, sweet.
It says, "Hello, Sean and Ruby. Just finished listening to the latest episode where you discussed the official announcement of Full Hero Parties. During the conversation, Sean made a statement about soloing in an MMO that supports the frustration I have with the whole debate. Granted, he was painting with a broad brush, but he said that players who solo MMOs do so because, quote, they want to achieve things and show them off. Whenever there is talk about playing solo in an MMO, there is always one camp that believes playing solo is pointless and the entire reason you play an MMO is to work together as a team. Then there is the camp that defends solo play. This is where my frustration comes in. They list all these reasons, such as socializing with other players, even if you aren't working together, feeling like they are in a living world, Sean's showing off example, etc. Rarely do I ever hear someone say the obvious and probably most common reason someone would solo an MMO. The game is fun, and a single-player version does not exist. I've been a member of a few guilds, and I've socialized and grouped a bit. But to be honest, had I played Guild Wars as a single-player, non-networked game, I don't believe my enjoyment would have been any less due to my style of play. But since such an entity doesn't exist, if I want to play Guild Wars, it has to be in a networked environment. And if I happen to join a group or socialize, that's just an added experience." Terrence. So, I think that's a great point. You know, that's something I didn't think about. Simply the fact that a single player version doesn't exist. If a single player version of Guild Wars existed, would you play it?
Would I?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think also.
I think so.
You know, I don't think the single player thing is kind of gone. I mean, you look at Xbox Live, I mean, everything you do in there. I mean, here's an example. I'm going to go off on a little tangent here, but I know I never do that, right?
Yeah,
but,
I know. This is unusual.
Fable 3, which I'm in love with right now, they have these things where you reach certain achievements in the game and a little window will pop up telling you your score versus other people who are on your friends list. So let's say you just got some more money and your total sum of gold is like 5,000 gold. It'll tell you where you rank among your friends, you know, how rich they are compared to you. If you get married in the game, it'll tell you how many other people are married and how many spouses they have. You know, it'll tell you if you have a child in the game, it'll tell you how many, you know, every little thing you do, it'll compare it to your friends, but it's not a massively multiplayer game. It's not even really a multiplayer. I mean, the multiplayer aspect of games like Fable, this started in Fable 2, is essentially when you're running around a town, there will be this little orb, a little floating, glowing orb that'll go by you, and that means someone on your friends list is in that same town playing at that same exact moment, and you can join them. You can click on them, you can talk to them, and you can join them and kind of play along with them, but it's just two people. You know, it's not massively a multiplayer. It's just it's like an optional multiplayer that is kind of spontaneous, and I really like that. I mean,
that is
for the
cool.
record, I hope that they make a Fable MMO one day, but I think that now that is something that's kind of that caters exactly to me. You know, the type of person who does things like this to kind of you know, compare to your friends and things like that, without having a million people running around. I really enjoy that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, if Guild Wars was set up like that, where it just had like a multiplayer aspect, but it wasn't massively multiplayer, which it kind of isn't, you know, I mean, with the hub cities and everything, and the instancing, I would probably still play it. You know, if there was, let's say that they had Guild Wars and they had a version with subs, where if you paid the sub fee every month, you would be able to have a completely persistent world. I mean, would you pay that sub?
Oh, ouch. These are hard questions.
I know. Well, I understand. I mean, I'm putting you on the spot here. It's kind of a rhetorical question because I think that it's one of those things for you to think about. You know, it's mm-hmm. like, do we play these games as massively multiplayer games because that's our only option? You know, if they had single player versions of them, how many people would play those versus that? Plus, if they had non-sub versions that were instanced and subbed versions that were persistent, who would play more? I mean, what would be more popular? I mean, I think these are all really interesting questions that I don't think developers would really want to go through all that trouble of developing two versions of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still interesting to think what players would do.
See, I don't know programming enough to know how two different versions and a single player and a multiplayer version of the same game would work. You know what, though? I'm sitting here thinking Guild Wars is probably the one game I'd pay a sub for in this case. To get that multiplayer. And I'm actually just kind of sitting here thinking of all the really cool people that I've met in Guild Wars. And I'm like, man, I would not have had that.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's, I mean, if it's the Fable way, then it's people you already knew. You know, you're only going to see them if you already knew them, yeah,
but there are some very, very neat people that I would not know if it wasn't for Guild Wars.
Yeah, exactly. So. And even, I mean, when I played Guild Wars at the very, very beginning, There were a few people I met. There's this one lady and her husband that I met probably June of 2005, and it was pretty early on, and we were sitting in the desert. They were asking for a group for, I believe it was Alona Reach, and they loved my name because my character's name was Walmart Special, and it was my first time going through, you know, the desert with them and everything, and they were like, oh, that's the coolest name, and we got to talking, and they, you know, I went in their group and went with them, and we were joking around the whole time, and, you know, I have kind of a dry sense of humor when it comes to, you know, when you're in a group, it's kind of fun to just go back and forth and, you know, be obnoxious, and they rolled right with that, and we had a lot of fun, and they're still on my friends list today, you know, and it's funny because I remember telling them that I was going to do a podcast about the game, and they're like, oh, okay, I don't know what that is, but it sounds like fun.
you do that.
Yeah. And that's a perfect example. You know, you meet people like that, just these random encounters, and that's what it's all about. You know, I mean, I don't do that very often, but when I do, it's usually people who will last on my friends list forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the quality friendships over quantity. And I really enjoy that kind of stuff. When it happens, you know, when you can find someone like that. But I don't go to do it all the time. I'm perfectly content just having that kind of instanced, you know, with your friends kind of experience.
You know what, the whole thing, the relationships in Guild Wars just fascinate me anyway. I don't know, I just think they really, really take. And yeah. I'm actually thinking of a couple that you and I both know that met in Guild Wars and are now married and expecting their first baby.
Oh, yeah.
That's Val and Aaron. And, I mean, they would never have met. That would never have happened. They're like two of the happiest people I know. And that would not have happened if it wasn't for that multiplayer aspect.
Yeah, Yeah, you're absolutely right.
That kind of thing is so cool to me, and I don't think I'd want to miss out on that.
Yeah. Yeah, so. But I think the point here is that people play massively multiplayer games for many different reasons, mm-hmm. and Terrence is just showing us another one, you know, that's why he plays. That's why he plays these. You know, it's there. There's no single-player version available. But, like he says, it has to be a networked environment, and I think that is pretty important.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was like a big tangent on my part. I'm sorry, Tara. But I absolutely do see your point. I mean,
Okay, cool. Let's go on to this next email. It says, hey, Sean and Ruby, I'm just currently listening to the latest Guildcast episode, and one of the first things I wanted to comment on was about the costumes. The day they were released, I was busy doing some costume brawls when my guild leader mentioned that there was a weird creature in Great Temple of Balthazar, International District 1. It ended up being Regina and another ArenaNet person I wasn't familiar with, showing off these new costumes. At first, I believe there was originally 10 people there, but the word spread about the ArenaNet members in the district, and it filled up. It was really cool to see them around and showing off the new costumes. As soon as they were available, I bought them. Can't blame me. Ruby can't, right?
Oh, no. Good taste, man.
They're some of the best yet. Anyhow, you could tell they were GMs because when they typed, it came out in a green-blue text. I've never seen a GM on before. Yes, a GM makes my day. Don't judge me.
Hey, you know what? I was in that district of Great Temple of Balthazar, and I was just as excited as you are. So, and the other one was Martin Kirstein, by the way.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. It goes on and says, Guild Wars has been getting a little boring lately because I've literally done it all. Not trying to show off, but it's nice to see new things every month, even if it is accessible via Guild Wars Store. Well, that's all I wanted to comment on. Ruby, my entire guild is jealous you got to try out Guild Wars 2. Love the podcast, and my guild can't wait to hear the new Mad King jokes. That's from Megan. And she says, yes, might as well get my real name out there.
Hi, Megan. And the jokes were awesome.
Yes, yes. The thing with the GMs is cool because they started out... Now, they have the big GM things over their heads still, right?
I think they can turn those off. They were not... Oh, okay. Those were not on when Martin and Regina were in Great Temple.
Oh, okay. Because when Gail started doing this 5 years ago, you know, she didn't have that. And she would show up and everybody would, you know, kind of go where the giant group was. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she'd play on her little ranger character with the flower in her hair. And, you know, and you knew what to look for because, you know, everyone knew that character. And it was always fun. You know, she always did type in that different color text. Mm-hmm. And also, remember the frog?
Yeah. You know what? Actually, last week she was in Lion's Arch with the frog.
Oh, okay, cool. I didn't know if the frog was retired or... You
know, no, he was still there. He had a little witch's hat.
I don't know if he went to like a marsh in Florida or something and, you know...
He's retired.
But
that was the first... I've never actually seen the frog before then, so...
Oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's it's something... I mean, they've always kind of had fun with it, you know, with the little in-game stuff. And it is a lot of fun when they show up. And, you know, Martin's been doing it a lot, I guess, most recently. And Regina... Lindsay was doing it for a while there, and I don't know, it's kind of fun where they just go in there and they kind of hang out with people, and we always make the joke, we always have made the joke that when Gail would be in there, I mean, you know, general chat would just fly by, but everybody would always ask her, will you marry me, Gail? And it was so funny. Mm-hmm. And I was joking before I met Gail in real life, and I was saying, I'm going to run up to her and ask her to marry me. And then it was like, no, that would be really awkward. So I didn't do it.
Yeah, what if she did it? I mean...
I know, right?
Yeah.
No, but it's just always been funny, kind of the insanity that happens when GMs have... You know,
everybody goes crazy.
Yeah. But it's a good sign, right? It's a good sign for ArenaNet. People love it.
Oh, yeah. I love how excited everybody gets.
Yeah. Okay, this next one is... let's see if I can pronounce this. Anasi Chapai, something like that.
You'll notice I'm going completely silent. I'm not going to try. Throw you under the bus there.
This is, hey, Sean and Ruby, and then in parentheses, Sean goes first because he talks more. Ruby goes first because she's a lady, and then it says Ruby Sean. Two topics I wanted to talk about. Number one, retaining names. In episode 23, a listener had a question about how the reserving of Guild Wars names for Guild Wars 2 would work, and I instantly remembered something they introduced around the time of Hero Battles. I think it could be with tournaments. Before you could play, you needed to select an account name. It's under the Hero panel in the Accounts tab. I could easily see ArenaNet reserving that name for Guild Wars 2. Your thoughts? Well, let's address this one. Yeah, I think absolutely they're really pushing towards the NCSoft name, you know, the account name. Mm-hmm. I mean, they did that with Storage, where they promoted, you know, they tried to get everyone to, you know, if you sign up, get your NCSoft name linked with your Guild Wars account, then we will give you a free Storage tab, which I did not do because I'm an idiot. and actually, I couldn't sign in. My NCSoft thing is totally screwed. I don't know what's going on. So they're making sure they're doing incentives to make sure that people link their accounts, and I think that's exactly why. Yeah, I think you're right. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I feel like I should add something really profound, but I'm kind of like, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think that's why they're doing all these pushes to get those linked. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I have many people. I would say most people probably have multiple accounts.
Oh, I only have one.
One dozen. So I think that I don't know. I mean, I'm probably going to have multiple accounts in Guild Wars 2 also, and I'll probably link at least my two top one, maybe three top accounts. That sounds horrible, but I'll probably link them to a Guild Wars 2 account.
There you go.
I don't know how I'm going to buy three copies of Guild Wars 2, but better start saving. Huh?
Oh, you'll manage. I'm sure you'll find a way.
Yeah.
Plus, you can deduct it.
That's true.
Man, I justify
everything.
Kids go
for a lot of money, right?
I said deduct it, not auction your children.
Oh, right.
I swear, I justify everything by that way. I can deduct this.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you can, really.
But it's February. It won't matter. Just shut up.
Okay, the second part of the email, the second question was monks. They say, also in episode 23, you had a little talk about monks. I can't disagree more on not taking melee attacks on a monk. This is for Ruby. Having played Dev Hammer Holy Strike Smiter with much enjoyment for a big part of my Guild Wars playtime, however, I love the Battle Monk comments since this is how I would like to see monks in Guild Wars 2, if they get in there at all. Since if you talk about monks, the first thing that comes to mind is an image of a balding, traveling monk with a staff and a raggedy robe. A reveal of a battle staff wielding, divine wrath invoking, ass kicking monk would totally make my day. Mesmer reveal level happiness. Ooh, hey, that's pretty.
Wow, pretty that's happy. Pretty happy.
Again, your thoughts? Love the show. Keep up the good work. Signed with much appreciation, Anasi Chape. I think that it would be completely awesome if they did that. Like we've said before, you know, the DDO monks are pretty much like that. You know, the kind of acrobatic, I mean, I guess that would take the place of an assassin, or at least the assassin in Guild Wars 1.
Maybe. My DDO monk punches the crap out of everything, so yeah, she's right in there.
Yeah, so I think that it would be interesting to see if maybe that's the one that's mixed with something else, you know, that he said, or if that's the one that's going to be just a new name. Well, I mean, they can't have a healing class, so I don't know. I guess that could be one that was mixed, apparently, but I don't know. We'll have to
all this does is make me want to know now. Just makes me patient.
Well, we'll have to wait until after the Mesmer reveal because that's coming next.
Right? Yes. I just don't even argue with you anymore.
Mesmer reveal. Good thoughts. Think good thoughts. Okay. So this next email here is... I'm clicking on it. Okay. It's from Roderick Kane, the Angry Pyromancer. That's a cool name. Hello, Guildcasters. I'll start off by saying I'm a big fan of both your podcast and Guild Wars in general. Cutting to the chase, I'd like to weigh in on the drama caused by PC Gamer article discussed in episode 23.
Ugh.
As I listened to your discussion about the article, I was reminded why I never get my news from magazines or large news sites like PC Gamer. Ever since my younger days when Nintendo Power and GamePro were my news sources, I found a common theme. Particular authors/reviewers seem biased towards certain games and uninterested in others. Most of the time, I was able to tell whether the author actually cared about the game being previewed. Like you mentioned with the Char/Beastman example, the author of that article did not seem to me that Guild Wars 2 was very important to him. And the interview was just another job for the magazine/news site. I don't blame the author for this, though. I would have to blame the editor for poorly choosing that assignment for him. I assume that's how large gaming news mags work. To me, it's not necessarily a problem of misinterpreting information from an interview. It's an overall lack of enthusiasm and ignorance brought on by poor management. PC Gamer showed that they could care less about true fans of Guild Wars. Interview pieces like this and others may be informative to gamers not familiar to the Guild Wars world, but they should never expect true fans to be satisfied with getting updates from them.
Well, and I think maybe they were after people that were not familiar with Guild Wars. I don't know. I've tried so hard to make excuses for this that it's kind of difficult. But you don't want to bring people into the game giving them wrong information.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's, well, you know, we talked about this last time, too, and I pretty much feel the same. One thing I think I didn't convey enough. I think when I went back and I listened to it, I sounded almost like I was defending PC Gamer too much. And I was, you know, I was being really careful because I don't want to make it sound like I, you know, being competitive. And I know I mentioned that last week, but
I just let it rip, too.
I know. I actually agree. I mean, I don't know if it was... whose fault it was or whatever. I mean, if it was just sloppy work, I really, honestly, this is what I think. I think no one there really knew anything about Guild Wars. You know, management, authors, whatever. I mean, they, where he mentions here that, you know, it's just another story, basically. That happens at so many places. I mean, that happens everywhere just about, except massively. Ding. but it does happen in a lot of places, especially the major ones. You know, the kind of the bigger companies, the bigger outlets, they kind of just go towards the big stories. You know, they get the big exclusives because of their size, and then they roll with it no matter if they know what it's about or not. And I really, and this sounds like I'm making a commercial for Massively, but seriously, at Massively, we don't write about it unless we know about it. You know, we have stories that come in that I'm like, hey, there's this new thing in so-and-so game. Does anybody want to write about it? And everybody's like, well, I don't really play that game, so I don't really know about it. And then we don't write about it, you know. And it's not the end of the world. If we don't know enough to make more
sense
than just, yeah. I mean, I don't want to regurgitate press releases. And I think there are so many websites out there who just absolutely regurgitate press releases. They read them, they take a few paragraphs out, they throw them in a news post, and then that's their news, and they get paid for it. For me, it's like, if you don't know anything about it, don't write about it. If nobody knows about it, we just won't write it, and it's not a huge deal.
And that is why you will never, ever find me writing an article about EVE Online.
Because that's true.
Not because it's horrible or something, but because it is so not my genre that I'm completely ignorant, and I stay away from EVE news, if at all possible.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like massively. Okay, we'll take EVE for an example. If there's a big EVE news that comes in, we have about three or four people who actually play it, and then we have one guy who's an absolute expert. I mean, you know, he knows the game inside and out. So we'll say, Brendan, do you want to take this? And if he's busy or something, then we'll go to the next person who knows, you know, the most about it, the person who actually, you know, has like whatever 500 million ISK, and, you know, I don't know, I don't even know if that's a lot of money, but you know, the person who knows a lot about the game and how to play it. But if it's just me and Ruby, you know, we're the only ones that are kind of on duty at that time, and there's an EVE story, I'll be like, okay, we'll just save this for
Brendan.
Yeah. It's not like we're just going to be like, we'll write it no matter what happens. And, so what I'm saying is, I think that a lot of people look at the journalist side of things first, and they don't look at the gamer side of it. And they don't really think that matters. And
well,
what?
I think it's like what you said last week, that someone at NCSoft is old school, and they're like, okay, magazines are important, magazines are big, and they're looking strictly bottom line. Okay, PC Gamer is a big name, and they have such and such number of circulation, so such and such number of people will read about Guild Wars 2, therefore, they get the goods.
Oh, absolutely.
And whether or not they butcher it is secondary.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. I mean, I guarantee. I mean, I'm not saying I think that's what it is. I've been doing this long enough. That's exactly what it is. It's you know, I get asked all the time, what are the unique traffic numbers on Massively? Because we want to know if you're worth, you know, talking to.
Right.
And it's one of those, it's depressing, but that's just the way it goes. And
yeah,
and
quantity over quality.
Yeah, and PC Gamer gets the hits. They have very solid numbers on what their subscriber base is because it's people who actually subscribe. You know, on a website, mm-hmm. it's a lot harder to determine that because people can change IPs and you know you can do all this different stuff to get unique traffic numbers and mm-hmm. all that boring stuff. But yeah, absolutely, that's what it is. And PC Gamer, I'm sure, has a giant subscription base, and you know, Game Informer, things like that, IGN. You know, that they have some really big numbers. You know, big, a lot of eyes going across their site or their mm-hmm. magazine. Now, I don't think that any of that's really going to change, though. You know, I don't think that there's that site that, you know, the marketing department of big studios or publishers are going to look and say, well, let's stop trying to get our stuff across to the big people, and let's go for the people who actually know the game. I don't think that's going to happen. You know, I think yeah. what's going to happen is they're going to take it and say, okay, we need to provide more information for PC Gamer next time so that they know, you know, and that makes it worse. You know what I mean? It's like we're going to spoon feed them next time so that they know exactly what to do.
Let's give them even more.
Yeah, and then and so everything will be, you know, peachy keen and we won't have to put Band-Aids over everything after it's done wrong.
Oh my gosh, the aftermath of that sounds like it was such a mess. But I just think those of us that do know the game and are passionate about it hate seeing it treated like that.
Mm-hmm. We do.
No matter who else we work for or what ulterior motives it might look like we have, mm-hmm. just as a gamer and someone who really loves the game, you know, you hate seeing it. You just hate seeing that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Anyway, this email goes on and it says, nowadays, my only sources of news are mainly the developer sites or your podcast, for Guild Wars' sake. I know that when I hear breaking news from ArenaNet, they're going to be as enthusiastic about displaying it as I will be reading it, since I'll be buying their game. And beyond that, I feel that podcasts like Guildcast are just as good, if not better, than getting the info from the developer. News is important, yes, but detailed explanation, commentary, speculation, all of these things really fire up fans and get us psyched for the game release. Personally, most of my news from Guild Wars 2 comes from your podcast. I eagerly await the next episode. Best regards, Roderick Kane, the angry pyromancer.
Yeah. That's, he doesn't sound too angry.
No, he sounds really nice. I think that there's a lot of good points in there. The main thing, I don't really see us as a news source on Guildcast because I think that, you know, we do this once a week, and by the time we talk about it, it's either, you know, it's a week old or a little bit sooner, but we're not able to do kind of the breaking news. But at the same time, I mean, at least we're not monthly. You know, we're not getting the news out monthly. I would expect that people would listen to us for the commentary and for some explanation on things like here and there. When I first did the original Guildcast, it was all about, you know, detailing every little thing about different topics. You know, I would have like a GVG episode, and I would detail all the different things about GVG. Well, that's the bad thing about that is, number one, it's exhausting, and it'll burn you out really fast mm-hmm. Doing all that research. And number two is that stuff could change the day I record the podcast. You know,
and that's happened.
Oh, yeah, it happened. I mean, all those episodes are probably obsolete by now. So it's not a very good way, I think, of doing things. So I think that our commentary and just kind of our, you know, back and forth, I think, really adds a lot of entertainment value for the show itself. I mean, you listen to other podcasts. I mean, even other Guild Wars podcasts, you know, like Relics of War. I mean, Ryan over there, you know, he's an entertaining guy, and he mm-hmm. gets his guests on there, and they talk, and they have a lot of fun with it. And I think that's why people listen to podcasts.
It's that perspective from others that know the game inside and out.
Yeah, yeah. So I think it's cool that Roderick gets his news from us, and that just shows that, you know, there are people who do that. So we kind of have to treat it both ways, and we do. You know, I think we talk about the news, and then we give our perspective on it. So,
mm-hmm. and the community stuff. That's just, I think, to fans, that's just as good as the news. That's just as important.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So this next email says, hello, Ruby and Sean, ladies first. This is Validus Oranos. Wow. I'm pretty good at this, huh?
I am impressed.
I just finished listening to episode 23. On the part you guys talk about WVW, World versus World, when I was just started to get bored with Guild Wars a while back, I found a free MMO called Earth Fantasy Online. Actually, he did, let me check something, because he did write in and correct that. It's okay. Called Fantasy Earth Zero, that's what it's called.
Oh, Elliot wrote about that.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, he wrote back. So Fantasy Earth Zero. And he says, and it mainly focuses on 100 versus 100 PvP battles. I figured Guild Wars 2 World versus World would be similar to that game, but of course on a larger scale. The reason I'm writing this email is because I hear Ruby is not big into PvP, which I am neither. The reason I dislike PvP, however, is due to the fact that in structured PvP, people get to emotional and picky, and overall not so nice, especially to new players. Now, the reason I really liked Earth, he says Earth Fantasy Online again, it's Fantasy Earth Zero, yeah, is because PvP was just a big brawl. You could jump right in with whatever build at whatever level and just play against someone else and not an AI. If someone killed you, you would just respawn and then you would go about doing whatever task you were trying to do. Or you would hunt that player down screaming revenge, even if that player was 20 levels higher than you. There were also tasks people could do if they wished, and even though there might have been 100 people on your side, people always found a way to work things out. When I first heard of World versus World, I remembered this game and how it was the most fun I had ever had in PvP. World versus World is one of those things that most excites me about Guild Wars 2, and I can't wait to play it. The number one thing that most excites me, though, is the Mesmer comeback. Oh, I love this person. they say, you know what, Anet? We're still waiting for it. Is it ready now? How about now? Now? anyway, I really enjoy the show. I wish you all good luck, and I hope to get to battle you both in World versus World. Rawr.
Well, you can battle Sean. I won't be there. I might check it out once.
You have to. Actually, you know, one of the things he says in here about revenge reminded me of Rohan Online. Mm-hmm. I know that, I don't know if you ever played that, but I played it for a little while, and it had this really cool feature where if somebody killed you in PvP, you had like, I think a minute or something like that. You had a little brief period of time where you could go and hunt them down. No, actually, I think it was 24 hours. I think you could sneak up on them, and you could make it like a quest of your own. And you could at any time during this time period, you press the revenge button, and it'll send you to their location. Like it'll teleport you to wherever they're at in the world, and then you can attack them. So I think it was an extended period of time because then you could kind of wait it out. And then they would be like, any time, this person can pop up and get me, you know. And I think that was really cool. But as far as the World versus World stuff, they haven't really said how big it's going to be yet, right?
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, I mean, 100 versus 100 is still pretty big. You look at games like Aika. I know I mention Aika all the time, but it's a pretty cool game. And they have 1,000 versus 1,000 in theory. I don't think they've hit that yet. I'm not sure.
But they could if they wanted to.
Yeah. And that game it's just the way it's made, everything is so streamlined. You know, the character models are all streamlined and mm-hmm. the graphics and everything, so that you can do that. I don't think that they would be able to do that in Guild Wars, you know, just because of all the customization and everything. But
well, now that you've said that, they're gonna.
Yeah, actually, if anyone could do it, it would be ArenaNet, that's for sure. So yeah, I don't know, we'll see how that works. I don't know if it's just going to be world versus world, like unlimited, I guess, to a point. I guess it would all have to be to a point, but you know, you just have everybody join up and just fight each other. And I know that there was a Ultima Online, long, long, long time ago, had a thing where they had, this is kind of funny, everybody planned to be at the same spot at the same time to kind of, what do you call it? What is it? Protest. That's what I was thinking.
Oh,
like they were protesting something, and they all showed up at the exact same time. And this is back when you could do emotes that would lag the server. So everybody planned to do emotes at the same time, and it like broke the server or something like that.
Oh my gosh!
It's kind of funny, but I don't think that kind of stuff can happen anymore.
Too bad. But that sounds kind of fun.
So yeah, I think that's another one of those where we'll just have to wait and see, mm-hmm. and just see how the world versus world happens. But I like his ideas of making it so big and making it so important, you know, and make it matter. And it mm-hmm. says it was just a big brawl, is basically, you know, you jump in,
yeah.
whatever you had, you didn't have to be like, okay, I'm a mesmer, I gotta go look for a warrior so that I can, you know, beat him down and
right.
make him kill himself. And, you know, it wasn't anything like that. It was just everybody just free for all. And I think that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, just jump in and start swinging.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see how they do that. Let's see. I believe that was our last email. Yeah, it was.
Cool.
So that's all we had. But
we had good ones this week.
Yeah, we did. I always like spending a good chunk of the show just reading email and just, you know, speculating on answers to the questions. I mean, we, you know, a lot of times we say things wrong, I guess, and we get corrected in the comments or next
email.
But
I'm glad.
Yeah, and then we'll read those the next week. You know, it's like a big chain of corrections.
But, hey, it's like working for you.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, cool. If anyone wants to write us an email and have us read it on the show, send it to Sean, S-H-A-W-N, at guildcast.com, or Ruby, R-U-B-I, at guildcast.com, or both of us, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people have been doing that. Yeah, that works out well.
Yeah, I like that, because then I'm not sitting here wondering what the heck he's talking about.
Yeah, actually, that is a good idea. Works out well. And then we have our Twitter and Facebook pages, of course, and Twitter is where I announce when the next show is being done, or up on the feed, and we have our feed at our website. You can go on there and you can subscribe to it, and you can get it on iTunes as well. You can just do a search for Guildcast, and you'll find it on there. And let's see, I think that's probably about it. If you go to the website, guildcast.com or guildcast.wordpress.com, you'll have all of the show notes for this show, including links to some of the things we talked about. So I think that's it. We're going to link the schedule for the Halloween stuff still remaining today, and we're mm-hmm. about to go grab another hat here in a second. But
you got to go.
Yeah, so it's not too late if you want to grab some. After I edit this and get it out, you'll have till later tonight to get a hat of your own and participate in the events and everything.
Yeah, you can. Now you can do the events until, like the quests and stuff, until November 2nd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's, you get more time on those.
Tuesday, yeah. So cool, get out there and get drunk and then play Guild Wars. No, get drunk in Guild Wars. Yeah, that's what I meant.
And then play.
No. All right, everybody. We will talk to you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.